Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 47 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Jacob Lindberg.
So a budget that has hundreds of millions of dollars in spending that we really can't afford to spend.
Kentucky's governor will veto the budget and tax plan passed last week by the legislature.
The state's teachers union is calling that planned veto disrespectful.
A Bourbon County lawmaker says the tax plan is a good one.
Brown officials say the new county jail will fill up quickly.
The Carter County Library is asking for additional funding.
In sports, the Reds open the three-game series against the Phillies tonight.
Bud Luce has the stock report.
Mostly cloudy tonight with a low around 33 degrees. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
Three people have been arrested on drug charges in Martin County. WSAZ reports 53-year-old Jimmy Cornett of Tomahawk was arrested on first-degree trafficking and possession charges. He was arrested early Sunday morning. In an unrelated case, Megan Nedlinger was arrested on Friday on heroin possession charges. And in a third separate case, Matthew Fulty was arrested Friday on first-degree charges of trafficking methamphetamine. Those three were all taken to the Big Sandy Regional Detention Center.
One man is facing more than 60 counts of terroristic threatening after threatening to kill dozens of people, including the entire Laurel County Sheriff's Office and his wife. WKYT reports the incidents took place across several days last week. On Monday, Laurel County deputies say they received a report that 27-year-old Derek McCargue's car intentionally rammed another car, which had his wife and a 17-year-old female inside. Deputies say his wife and a teenager were taken to the hospital to be treated for injuries. McCargue left the scene before they arrived. On Tuesday, investigators say McCargue called the Laurel County Sheriff's Office twice, threatening to kill all the deputies who work there. Deputies also say he claimed to know where some of the deputies live and that he would go there to kill them or make the deputies kill him. He was arrested by Corbin police on Wednesday.
Federal authorities say an Ohio-based food company is recalling more than 14,000 pounds of pulled barbecued beef products that could be contaminated with rubber. The U.S. Agricultural Department's Food Safety and Inspection Service reports that JTM Provisions Company of Harrison, Ohio, had received two customer complaints of extraneous material contamination. There have been no confirmed reports of adverse reactions from consuming the product. They come sealed in a plastic tray with a paper sleeve in products labeled barbecue sauce with pulled beef. Federal authorities say they were produced last September, but are concerned that some remained frozen in customers' refrigerators or freezers. The service says they should be thrown away or returned to the place of purchase.
A railway company is suing two men it says failed to prevent a recent train crash and derailment in Scott County. The Norfolk Southern Railway Company lawsuit says locomotive engineer Kevin Tobert and conductor Andrew Hall failed to reduce a train's speed and prevent its collision with another train. The Lexington Herald Leader reports the March 18th crash in Georgetown destroyed two Norfolk Southern locomotives, derailed 13 cars, and caused a fire and temporary evacuation. The lawsuit says the men are liable for damages to railway property and costs related to removing spilled fuel. The Herald Leader says lawyer Robert Catrullo filed the suit last Thursday in Lexington and declined to comment. It also says Tobert and Hall could not be reached.
Governor Matt Bevin announced his plan to veto the legislature's revenue and budget bills this morning. At a news conference in the state capitol, Bevin said the proposals wouldn't address Kentucky's current financial woes and would instead be kicking the can down the road.
And to do that would be to take a foundation that's structurally not what it needs to be and say, well, we still want to build up to, you know, a five-story building. But because of the way the foundation is, we'll just build everything a little bit to the left. That's just not how you want to build what we need to build here financially in the state. So I'm going to veto the entire budget, and I'm going to veto the entire tax bill.
That sound is courtesy of WKYT. The budget and revenue bills were rushed through the legislature last week. The legislature may override the governor's planned vetoes with a simple majority vote before the end of the 2018 regular session.
The Kentucky Education Association released a statement on Governor Matt Bevin's veto this afternoon, calling his actions blatantly disrespectful of the state's employees. KEA President Stephanie Winkler said the union is disappointed by Bevin's reference to KEA as, quote, the problem. KEA has 45,000 members across the state. Winkler said, quote, if the governor wants to work with job creators and taxpayers, why does he insist on insulting so many people who do both, end quote. The statement accused Bevin of not caring about the work done by legislators or for the welfare of Kentucky's public employees, including teachers and classified school employees, law enforcement officers, firefighters, and social workers.
Organizations across the Commonwealth, including the Northern Kentucky Chamber of Commerce, see recent reforms made by the General Assembly on taxes and pensions as a success. According to Spectrum News Pure Politics, the Northern Kentucky COC hopes the recent reforms help keep the state commercially competitive with other states. COC spokesperson Kristen Baldwin says the organization has supported reforms before the 2018 session began.
This isn't a new issue for the chamber. We were there in 2013 when major reforms were done for the rest of those state employees that are in the CRS system and those in the KRS system. With the changes that have been done, we've seen a lot of things that have gone on with the actual analysis, some changes in those analysis and the opportunities that are there. There's a huge unfunded liability, and the chamber's always said we have to do something, and doing nothing is not an option.
Baldwin praised the passing of House Bill 362, which the CERS pension payments for local governments and school districts to phase in over 10 years with a cap of 12% per year. We'll have more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Innovation Launchpad at Morehead State University. The Innovation Launchpad provides education, collaboration, and infrastructure for new or startup businesses with consulting services, financial planning, workstations, meeting, and conference rooms. Located at 149 East Main Street in Morehead, the Innovation Launchpad seeks innovative visionaries who want to start or grow their company, facilitate partnerships, and create jobs. More information at moreheadstate.edu/innovation.
An Eastern Kentucky state senator says the action lawmakers took on taxes will help the Commonwealth and its citizens. Bourbon County Republican Steve West says Democrats' allegations that the cuts to personal income and corporate tax codes will hurt the poor aren't true. For example, West points out that Kentuckians who make $18,000 a year or less will no longer pay income taxes, noting they have been paying them at an annual rate of 5.8%.
And the way the system was set up before, roughly $18,000 to $70,000, $75,000 you were paying about 5.8%. Anything above that, you were paying 6%. So we brought all those rates basically to 5%. Everybody who pays personal income tax in Kentucky basically got a rate reduction.
West adds the tax plan also cuts into the $13 billion a year the state has been giving in tax breaks by adding sales taxes to certain goods and services and taking other measures. He says it's important to note the plan fully funds Kentucky's pension plans by providing them with hundreds of millions of dollars in badly needed revenue.
It won't take Rowan County's new detention center much time to get to capacity. That's the word from Judge Executive Walter Blevins. The lockup is expected to be ready for occupancy in mid-May or so, and according to Blevins, it won't take long to fill the facility's 275 beds.
I really don't think it'll take very long. I think in probably 3 to 4 months, I think we'll be up to the full complement. And the way it's set up, actually you can put some what they call floats or beds down on the floor, and you can actually hold probably up to around 340. Most of our jails in Kentucky right now are at capacity, or I think there's one of them 200% capacity.
The state currently has 2,400 inmates, and that number is rising. Experts predict Kentucky will run out of prison space in the middle of next year.
Morehead's Parks and Recreation Director says local residents who want to see a new municipal pool built may get their wish sometime in the future. According to David Morris, a new pool could one day be constructed next to the $600,000 splash pad the city and Rowan County will build this summer across from the Green Hill City Park. The park's pool was demolished in 2014 after dangerous structural problems were discovered. In addition to finding the money for the new pool, Morris admits officials will have to determine if that's the most cost-efficient use of taxpayer money.
We don't live in a climate where we can have these things open year-round, so that a lot of time that drives whether or not we're going to wind up building one or not. Not to say that we won't, but you are finding there are a lot more public pools closing in the state of Kentucky due to those constraints.
Besides the hundreds of thousands of dollars needed to build a municipal pool, some estimates say the annual cost of maintaining one is in the neighborhood of $85,000, not including staffing.
The Kraft Academy for Excellence in Science and Mathematics at Morehead State University has selected 60 students for the class of 2020. 11 of those scholars come from Rouen and the surrounding counties. Kraft Academy Director Dr. Carol Christian says more than 200 high school sophomores applied to attend the academy this year.
We have a selection committee that they have to, with their application, have to submit essay questions, answers to essay questions. They have to get letters of recommendation. And then if they are selected to interview, they come on campus for a 30-minute interview. And then if from the interview they get extended invitation, they have the opportunity to accept or decline.
Rouen County's Margaret Alden, Elena Black, and Sydney Graham, Carly Porter of Morgan County, and Noah Blevins of Elliott County, and Carter County's Bailey Barker, Hyde Holbrook, Madeline Sally, Kevin Johnson, and Douglas Waddell will begin their Kraft Academy careers this fall.
The director of the Carter County Public Library is asking for additional support from the organization's main funding sources. Nellie Middleton is asking Carter County Fiscal Court, Grayson City Council, and Olive Hill City Council to each increase their contribution to the library from $18,000 to $25,000 per year. The increase would enable her to hire additional part-time staff to keep the libraries open and serve the public. Middleton says the public library is about more than just books.
So on occasion they need something printed, it's just easier to access us. We do a lot of faxing. Do a lot of assisting with proctoring exams for students who especially are taking online classes, whether that be at a local higher ed institution or more of a regional or an out-of-state, as well as continuing education. Most of the time, something has to be signed off on for that student.
The Grayson City Council has agreed to the increase as long as the other two entities agree to do the same.
Ashland's wastewater treatment plant is getting a new $28 million plan. WMKY's Logan Pemberton has more.
The news comes as the $4 million sewer project on 29th Street winds down. According to the Daily Independent, both initiatives are part of the city's combined sewer overflow plan, which was initiated 11 years ago to meet the Environmental Protection Agency's capture and control standards. Since 2010, taxpayers have been paying the bill for the city's CSO projects through a surcharge added to their utility bill. The surcharge increased from $2.50 to $3.50 per 1,000 gallons in January 2015. According to the city finance records, $14 million has been made from the surcharge, $12.7 million of which has been spent on the projects as of March of this year. For WMKY News, I'm Logan Pemberton.
Taking a look at the weather forecast for the WMKY listening region, mostly cloudy tonight with lows around 33 degrees. For your Tuesday, widespread frost in the morning, otherwise mostly cloudy, highs near 53. On Tuesday night, partly cloudy and lows around 32. On Wednesday, sunny with a high near 60. Wednesday night, partly cloudy and a low around 46 degrees. In Flemingsburg right now, it's 46 degrees and Ashland 49. In Lexington, 46 degrees and Winchester 48. Inez 48. And here in Morehead, on the campus of Morehead State University, it's 47 degrees.
As you probably already know, Morehead State Public Radio is currently in the middle of our spring fund drive. On our feature segment today, we'll hear from one of WMKY's former students, Stuart Osborne.
This is Stuart Osborne. I'm a Morehead State University graduate, class of 2002. I worked at Morehead State Public Radio from 1999 through 2002. Various different positions from host of Americana Crossroads, Good Morning Edition host, also a news and sports reporter, even a fill-in host on classical music from time to time. I started out as an intern for credit, and then I guess Chuck and Charlie liked me so much they decided to keep me around, and then I basically worked there nonstop. I worked during spring breaks. I worked there during summer break, winter break. I basically worked there for three straight years during my time at Morehead. It definitely helped me with the skills that I later used, you know, during my career in radio and then also my current career in television. I mean, I learned how to write conversationally. I learned, you know, attention to detail. I learned time management, which is, you know, an important thing when you're working, you know, in both radio and TV in terms of, you know, keeping a news show timed or keeping a newscast timed. I mean, as you know, your top of the hour news breaks are only so long, and then your bottom of the hour news breaks are only so long. So it teaches you all those skills. Also taught me a lot of just kind of personal skills in terms of just learning to get along with all kinds of different people, because obviously in college you have a lot of people from different backgrounds, and that kind of helps you in the real world as well. So the experience I learned was invaluable to my career, and I still use many of the things I learned from Chuck today. I was actually working at Morehead State Public Radio on the day of the 9/11 attacks. I was Morning Edition host. It was my senior year, and you know, I remember I was I did the last break before the top of the 9 o'clock hour, and I walked to class. And by the time I got to class, you know, the first of the attacks happened, and it was kind of a life changing day and moment for me, just because it kind of put things into perspective that no matter what part of the world you're in, it's just kind of like a small town. And you know, an event in New York City had a lasting impact on even the college students at Morehead University. I started donating when I was a student because I knew how important it was to keep the programming for the listeners in Eastern Kentucky. I still donate to this day. It's really easy to do. You could do it online if you want to, or go ahead and give us a call at 783-2001.
Stuart Osborne is now a news and sports producer at ABC 6 and Fox 28 in Ohio. It's 447 and 47 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Jacob Lindberg, and we're so glad that you've joined us on this Monday afternoon. In the meantime, if you'd like to make your pledge, please visit us online at WMKY.org under the Support Us tab. There's a secure form there that you can fill out, or give us a call. Let us know what you think about our programming here at 783-2001. Braxton Howard has sports in 30 seconds.
Support for programming on Morehead State Public Radio comes from the Kentucky Community and Technical College System. 16 colleges working together to educate skilled workers to help create better lives for a better Kentucky. More information is available at betterliveski.com.
The Reds visit Philly. Good afternoon for WMKY Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. The Cincinnati Reds are in Philadelphia tonight at 7:05, minus third baseman Eugenio Suarez, to open up a three-game series against the Phillies. Suarez is expected to be out for several weeks after suffering a broken thumb yesterday when he was hit by a pitch by Pittsburgh's Jameson Taillon. Manager Brian Price says he'll initially turn to veteran utility men Philip Gosselin and Cliff Pennington to fill in for Suarez.
Both do a fine job playing third base, so that's why we got him. You know, in case of emergency, break glass and inside are Gosselin and Pennington, and they'll come in and absorb some of those innings and opportunities for sure, and then we'll certainly make a roster move to get back up to the 25.
Price has not said who the Reds may call up to fill their vacant roster spot, but top prospect Nick Senzel could be a candidate. He's down in AAA Louisville. Just one afternoon baseball game today. At last check, the Tampa Bay Rays lead the Chicago White Sox 4-3 in the sixth inning. With the return last week of All-American slugger Nico Hosizer, Morehead State baseball coach Mike McGuire believes the Eagles' offense is ready to roll. Out for several weeks because of a broken hand, the junior slugger returned to go 7-for-12 at the plate, with three home runs during MSU's three-game sweep last week of UT Martin. McGuire says Hosizer is a, quote, difference maker for his lineup.
He's a guy that they have to circle in the scouting report and say, don't let this guy beat you. And they pitch very carefully to him, but it presents opportunities for the guys around him and lengthens the lineup. And certainly the guys are confident in what he brings to our team, but he's confident as well. And it does just add a little swagger to us, and I like to see it.
20-13 MSU visits Butler in non-conference action on Wednesday. The Kentucky basketball team has added another member to its 2018 recruiting class. Five-star big man E.J. Montgomery committed to the Wildcats, joining fellow five-stars Emmanuel Quickley, Keldon Johnson, and Tyler Hero. Montgomery spoke with Kentucky Sports Radio.
It came down to a couple other schools, Duke, Kentucky, Vanderbilt, Georgetown, and Wake Forest. But Kentucky stood out to me the most. Just the way they developed their players, and all the players seemed to get better there and make it to the next level.
The commitment gives Kentucky the second-ranked class in the country behind Duke. Montgomery will look to fill a hole left by Sasha Kalea-Jones, who announced today that he's transferring. The former McDonald's All-American averaged 3 points and three rebounds a game during his sophomore season with UK. New Louisville basketball coach Chris Mack now has a staff in place. WMKY's Ryan Fry reports on that.
Mack has filled out his bench, announcing the hiring of three assistant coaches. Mack has added former Wake Forest coach and ESPN analyst Dino Gaudio and former Xavier assistants Luke Murray and Mike Pegues. Gaudio spent the last 8 years at ESPN, but brings 23 years of coaching experience to the Cardinals bench. The former Wake head man also made stops at Army and Loyola Maryland. Murray and Pegues joined the staff after working under Mack at Xavier. Murray, the son of actor Bill Murray, brings 11 seasons of experience, while Pegues adds 8. Reporting for WMKY Sports, I'm Ryan Fry.
Meanwhile, Chris Mack is losing one of its top players. Junior forward Ding Adele has signed with an agent and will enter the NBA draft. Adele averaged 15 points and 5 rebounds a game last season for the Cardinals. Also from college basketball, Duke is one step closer to losing its entire starting lineup from this past season. Freshman guard Gary Trent Jr. announced he's entering the draft and has hired an agent, joining Trayvon Duval and Marvin Bagley III, who did the same. Freshman forward Wendell Carter is expected to follow suit as well. Miami sophomore Bruce Brown has signed with an agent, and he's entering the draft. And Kentucky freshman Shea Gilgeous-Alexander will announce his plans on the future on SportsCenter this evening at 6:45. He, too, is expected to enter the draft and sign with an agent. Brown County coach Kelly Ford says his Vikings got a lot better during spring practices fundamentally. Ford says those workouts over the last several weeks gave him the chance to get a good look at some good young key players on his roster.
We've got to see our number two quarterback, which is Will Cox, and he's got to take a lot of reps. Our number one being playing baseball right now is Devin Stevens. But I'm really happy at our running back position with Cole Wallace. And we got a new kid that transferred in named Nick Johnson. And we've really got some depth at our running back position now, and it's going to help us along the way.
The Vikings closed out their spring practices last Friday with their annual green-white game. They opened the 2018 season against Morgan County at home on August the 18th. A former veteran NFL general manager believes the Cincinnati Bengals should beef up their offensive line. Charlie Casserly is now an analyst for the NFL Network. He says the Bengals should add some players during the upcoming draft that will better protect quarterback Andy Dalton next season.
Two guys to think about. Will Hernandez, who's, I think, an outstanding guard from University of Texas, El Paso, UTEP. Or if he drops, Mike McGlinchey, who to me is the best offensive tackle in this draft, who has played right tackle. So I think either one of those guys would really help the offensive line.
After recently trading the 12th overall pick in the draft to Buffalo for tackle Cordy Glenn, the Bengals will have the 21st selection in the first round. The NFL draft will start on April the 27th. Finally in sports, some notes from the NFL. The Tennessee Titans have agreed to a contract with veteran defensive tackle Benny Logan. The move comes after the Titans missed out on signing Ndamukong Suh, who signed with the Los Angeles Rams after visiting Tennessee. Also, former Raiders and 49ers linebacker Alden Smith has been arrested for the third time in 2 months and is being held on $500,000 bond. And Green Bay Packers wide receiver Trevor Davis was arrested on Sunday and charged with making criminal threats after joking about a bomb at the Los Angeles International Airport. That's sports for WMKY. I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics. Softball plays a doubleheader hosting Murray State at 1 p.m., and 3 p.m. on Sunday, April 15th, and baseball welcomes West Virginia Tech at 5 p.m. on Wednesday, April 18th. Tickets and information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks closed well off their session highs as shares of Amazon and Boeing rolled over. Traders said a report that FBI officers had raided the office of President Donald Trump's personal lawyer contributed to the late-day decline. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a gain of 46.34 at 23,979.10. The S&P 500 was up 8.69 at 2613.16, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 35.23 at 6950.34. Amazon shares had risen as much as 2.3% before closing just barely positive. Boeing gained as much as 2.7% before ending the session down about 1.1%. And at its session high, the Dow rose as much as 440 points. The New York Times reported the FBI raided Michael Cohen's office, and of course Cohen is Trump's longtime personal lawyer. And stocks had rallied earlier after the U.S. Had slightly softened its tone against China in regard to trade. Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin told CBS on Sunday that he does not expect a trade war between the U.S. and China to take place. And Trump himself said in a tweet on Sunday that China's president and I will always be friends no matter what happens with our dispute on trade. The corporate earnings season kicks off later this week, with financial companies such as BlackRock, Citigroup, and J.P. Morgan all scheduled to release their quarterly results. And in corporate news, Merck rose more than 6% after a committee determined Keytruda has helped previously untreated lung cancer patients live longer. And Facebook climbed 1.3% ahead of CEO Mark Zuckerberg's testimony tomorrow regarding the data scandal involving firm Cambridge Analytics. And Monsanto gained U.S. approval on its buyout by Bayer, and Monsanto stock rallied over 6% on that news. In the commodities markets, oil was up about 2%, finishing at $63.31 a barrel. Gold was up 0.3% at $1,341 an ounce. In Europe, stocks were up today, with the Stock 600 index finishing with a gain of 0.8%. In the Far East, stocks were strong as well. The Nikkei was up 0.5%, and the Hang Seng was up 1.3%. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were Merck and Intel, while the worst performers were GE and Boeing. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Leucadia National and Nektar Therapeutics, while the worst performers were Lowe's and CarMax. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global up 46 cents at 69.06, CSX up 7 cents at 54.42, AEP up 18 cents at 68.71, Marathon Petroleum down 78 cents at 71.67, AK Steel down 6 cents at 4.31, and Anthem was down $1.95, finishing at 222.83. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from Bypass Pawn, 897 Flemingsburg Road in Moorhead. Bypass Pawn buys, sells, trades, and loans on just about anything of value. Cash for gold, silver, jewelry, and diamonds. Tools, video games, televisions, computers, hunting supplies, music gear, and guitars. Open 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Mondays through Saturdays, noon to 5 on Sundays. Bypass Pawn on Flemingsburg Road in Moorhead can be reached at 606-780-7296. Facebook and online at bypasspawn.com.
WMKY's spring fundraiser and membership drive is your chance to be part of local and live public radio from the campus of Morehead State University. Your gift of $25 or more gives directly into supporting your local news, music, and student work studies. Give today by calling 783-2001 or WMKY.org.
Taking one last look at your weather forecast, mostly cloudy tonight with lows around 33. On Tuesday, widespread frost in the morning, otherwise mostly cloudy with a high near 53 degrees. On Tuesday night, partly cloudy, lows around 32. On Wednesday, sunny with a high near 60. On Wednesday night, partly cloudy and lows around 46 degrees. For your Thursday, mostly sunny with a high near 74 degrees and breezy. In Flemingsburg right now, it's 46 degrees, and Lexington, 49, Ashland, 46, Winchester, 48, Inez, 48, and here in Moorhead on the campus of Moorhead State University, it's 47 degrees.
And that's going to do it today for Mountain Edition. We had help from Chuck Meraz, Sean Delaney, Logan Pemberton, Kyle Blankenbuehler, Tilden Johnson, Cody Robinson, Paul Hitchcock, Greg Jenkins, and Braxton Howard. Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke, and our feature segment today came from WMKY's former student worker, Stuart Osborne. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Jacob Lindberg and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.